Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always good on Sundays. Yeah. And now the shows go really fast.
Yeah.
They used to go fast when they were an hour. Now they really go fast.
It still feels like we were just here, though.
I know. I can't believe a week has gone by.
That
it seems like
never
it was 10 minutes
you.
Ago that the last show ended.
I know.
Wow.
The feeling just never shakes you.
I know.
All right.
And what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. We were in John chapter 21.
What were we talking about?
We probably better get into it because pretty soon the musical starts.
Time is short.
Yes, we were in John chapter 21 where the guys are out fishing. They don't catch anything.
Nope.
Jesus is on the shore. And we ended with the fact that God wants us to tell him our problems. He asked them, did you catch anything?
Mm-hmm.
And he knew full well that they had not caught anything. But he wants to hear it from them. They say, nope, we haven't caught anything. So then he solves their problem by saying, put the net over there. And he shows that he's the Lord of nature and provides for them, provides mm-hmm. the fish for them. So the moral of last week's show was we try to do things on our own power or our own strength. And it doesn't always work out. But when you say, hey, we didn't catch anything. And then he says, put your net over there, put your net on the right side. Then you've surrendered and said, basically, I can't do this. You're going to have to help me with this, or you're going to have to do this for me.
Yeah.
And then that's where the thing gets done. That's where his power comes through our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, if you were a really strong guy who was doing some work and you had a bunch of strong men with you that were doing some work and the work got done, it would look to everybody like you did the work.
Yeah.
But when you're just some, scrawny little dope with a bunch of dopes and something awesome gets done, you know that those dopes couldn't possibly have done it on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like those Israelites could have never liberated themselves from the Egyptians.
Yeah. Exactly.
So God shows his glory through that. And so he's standing on the beach in his glory, helping them out with the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we ended with Peter, jumping in the water because he's, so excited and so zealous.
He was just so overjoyed.
Yeah, after John says it's the Lord. Peter, just like the day he walked on the water, goes toward Jesus, but this time he's walking in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really kind of shows me that when you know that it's him, you want to go toward him.
Yeah.
I mean, not only do you want to tell other people about him, but you want to go toward him. You want to spend your time with him, not these other dopes that you've been fishing with all night.
Yeah.
Or not the, whatever it is you're doing. You want to spend time with him, and you want to tell others about him. And he had told them that they were going to be fishers of men, and they're not quite yet because Pentecost hasn't happened yet.
True.
Because by the way, we have to say that, we're counting the 50 days between Passover and Pentecost.
Counting the Omer.
And we're in that period of time now where every day you count a day. And so this was in between there. And so when the Spirit falls on them Pentecost morning in the upper room, then they really do become fishers of men.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah.
And the fulfillment of God's plan.
Yes.
You can't brush aside the Holy Spirit. Because it is the promise of the Father.
Amen.
It's not just some novel idea that somebody came up with after the fact.
Yes.
So if you're a pastor or whatever in your congregation and you don't talk about the Holy Spirit, you're shortchanging your congregation.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Jesus says, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes.
Yes.
And then you're going to receive power.
Yes.
Real power.
Yeah.
Not just, you're not going to go out there and do this on your own. You're going to have the power of God with you.
And that was the only thing he told them to do was to wait.
That was it. That was it. Not, you know, not a big game. You know, like they didn't have marching orders and instructions and, you know, a big gigantic playbook to go by.
No, they didn't have committee meetings.
No, they didn't do any of that.
No handouts.
no handouts, nothing. But at the, you know, getting back to where we were at here, not getting to Pentecost. It's kind of hard. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's already happened. It's like Holy Spirit.
It won't be long until it's Pentecost.
But, we can really try to do things on our own a lot. We can have committee meetings. We can get real busy with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, when you're, it's kind of like sometimes when a word, you know, when the Lord's trying to get somebody's attention, the word comes to that person and they're listening and they're hearing the word and they're thinking about it and they kind of get comfortable hearing that word, hearing mm-hmm. that calling. And then there comes a point where God wants your response.
Mm.
And now it's time for action.
Yeah.
And when you have a lot of committee meetings and you do a lot of planning and you're always in these planning meetings and all this stuff,
yeah.
It's very comfortable and safe there because you know what? You don't have to go out and do anything yet. and as human beings, we fall into that trap.
Yeah.
We fall into that trap a lot. Let's plan. Let's have another meeting. Let's have one more meeting to make sure that we have everything just
yeah.
right.
And don't be late.
And don't be late. Yes. Yeah. There's always a clock keeper. There's always a timekeeper in the crowd. But it really can stifle what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it, if not that planning and preparing isn't a good thing to do.
Sure.
But you have to do it in you know, within reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't spend your whole life planning and preparing and then, okay, well, I'm ready to go. And, oh, but Lord, I never got a chance to go out and do anything because I was always making all these plans.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you never talked to him.
Yes.
Maybe you never asked him what he wanted you to do.
He may already have the plans made.
He probably does since he's God. Funny thing.
Yeah.
And you're not going to, you know, God's not going to be caught off guard by somebody.
Yeah.
He's not going to go, oh, I didn't expect that from Phil and Steve. I didn't know they were going to do that. That totally yeah. blindsided me.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
I can't believe he did that again.
I know. He knows you did it again. But you know, the in this passage here, he asked them if they've caught anything and they haven't. He gives them the instructions. They catch 153 large fish, and then he says to them, and the nets weren't even torn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. There's 153 large fish, mm-hmm. not little wimpy fish,
mm-hmm.
large fish,
yeah.
and the nets aren't even torn. So many that all of the guys that were there, plus some of the guys that were on the shore, had to come yeah. and help pull in the catch.
Yeah.
But none of the nets were torn.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus invites them, come, have breakfast.
Yeah.
And again, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you?
Yeah.
Because they realized it was the Lord. But they were, you know, were they afraid? They didn't dare ask him.
That's right.
And we mentioned this last week. God wants to talk with you.
Yeah.
But here it is. It's the Lord.
Yeah.
What do we say? What do we do?
Yeah. Sure.
Shh. Don't say anything.
Yeah. And he had provision for them there.
An abundance of provision.
And they had worked all night. They were probably hungry and tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't tell them, go home, take a shower, come back, and I'll get something for you to eat. I mean, the food's already there,
yeah.
already made. And so the fishers of men get the fish provided for them that they need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Their physical needs are met. Yeah. And here, their spiritual needs are also met because mm-hmm. they're there with Jesus. They all have a seat at the table, even though Peter jumps in the water first. The other guys probably go, hey, why is he jumping in the water and we got to bring all these fish? But then it says he went and helped them too.
Yeah.
So everybody got there, you know, everybody got there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, you know, is pleased with all of them.
Yeah.
And they sit and eat because they found this provision there. And we have to bring, you know, they brought their work. They had done some work, you know, like we always say, you have to cooperate with God's grace and with his plan. And, you know, he has an abundance of mercy and love and grace and so forth, but we have to cooperate with it.
We do.
These guys cooperated. Mm-hmm. In other words, Jesus could have had all 153 fish just jump into their boat. I mean, if he wanted to, he could have done that. But no, he says, put your net on the other side of the boat, and they had to do that in order to catch the fish.
Yeah.
So then they got to enjoy the fruit of that work that they did.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we run into brothers and sisters that think, you know, work is a bad word in the sense of, well, you know, your works don't matter. But you have to cooperate. You have to do something.
Yeah.
You can't sit in your family room and say, yep, I'm all saved. Yep.
Well, yeah, because the work or the fruit of your labor comes from your own heart.
Amen.
I mean, if you have a heart that is stone cold,
you
can't love.
Right.
And if you don't love, you're not going to go and help your brothers and sisters who are in need. Or you're not going to go and preach the gospel to somebody, because you're just going to sit in your own room and go, well, I'm in.
Yeah.
And it's still about me.
Yeah.
And it's not about the kingdom.
Yes.
It's not about my brother and sister who doesn't know the good news of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about any of that. And so that's where the transformation takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Christ wants to transform us into his likeness and his image. And if we're really serious about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, what does he tell us? If anyone wishes to be my disciple, deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
What does that entail? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, read the Gospels, because you're going to have to match everything that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody besides Jesus Christ has shed his blood for another human being.
Yeah.
Or for the salvation of the world, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of martyrs who have shed their blood for the gospel.
Sure. But in wartime, somebody dies protecting their comrade or
right.
You know, but
as far as the salvation or the salvation of the soul, Jesus is the only person that can do that.
Amen.
And has done that.
Yeah.
Now, so it's, you know, we have to cooperate with God's grace, as you're saying. We have to go out and spread the gospel in word and also in deed. Because whatever's in your heart is going to come out. You know, it's the old adage, when you squeeze an orange, why do you get orange juice out of it? Because that's what's inside of it. And so, simple analogies
that's
here
good.
At Gift of Grace.
Yeah. That sounds like a radio show.
It could be the orange juice show. But they do. They enjoy the fruit of their labor because now they're going to have breakfast with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And interesting, he serves them. He's got everything ready.
Yeah.
Now he's Lord of the universe. He's eternally God. He's all these things. And we serve him. We're supposed to serve him, and we do serve him.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you see this whole mentality, like when he washed their feet.
I was just going to say,
says, you know, I got breakfast for you. Why don't you sit down? You guys have been working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, have some fish, have some toast. Everything's ready. We don't have any scrambled eggs, but we got fish and toast. And, it's really an amazing, it's kind of like a, analogy of the kingdom of God. You know, everything's ready for you.
Yeah.
You just come, everything's ready.
He goes and prepares
a place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like we don't get to heaven and go, well, what do I do now? Where am I supposed to go now?
My room ready yet?
Yeah. And then, St. Peter comes up to you and says, I heard what you said about me, that big dope Peter. So instead of getting that really big house over there, you're getting this little house. No. No, but you know, he serves them. Calls them children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first, you know, at one point he says, I call you friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now he calls them children. I mean, this is a whole different idea here. And they, like you said, they're kind of quietly amazed by this. They're like afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
Peter, of course, is probably waiting to see, is he going to bring up that denying him three times again, or is he going to bring that up today, or are we just going to have some fish and then
because this is the third time.
This
is the third time that Jesus revealed himself to his disciples.
So they're kind of quiet, you know, and it's they're a little timid.
You know what I was going to say is you're talking about, you know, he would call them friends, but now he calls them children, because a friend is an acquaintance.
Yes.
A friend is not someone who's part of a family.
Right.
There's a big difference.
Yes.
Hey, this is an excellent point. This is my friend Phil. If I always refer to you as my friend Phil, which you are, but I never say you're my brother in Christ, it's a big distinction.
Yes.
That's a heavenly distinction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we fall into the trap of using earthly terms and earthly scenarios when we are really need to operate from a kingdom perspective, from a heavenly perspective, or order, not just a perspective, but an order, because that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're an adopted son of God. We are part of the kingdom of heaven. We are part of God's kingdom. We're no longer just a person on this earth.
Yeah.
We're now an ambassador for Christ.
Yeah. Wow. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul mentions that. He says, we're like ambassadors.
Yeah.
Because we're not going around doing our own thing anymore.
Right.
And we're not going around trying to figure out what's going to make us happy, what's going to make us feel better, what's going to help my business, how's this going to help my house, or how's this going to help my income, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're ambassadors for Christ.
I mean, this is the first example of Peter taking off the old self and becoming the new creation that he is in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and then Jesus is going to ask him that question. He's going to talk with him about his little.
Yeah. I think we need to do a whole show just on that part.
I think we do.
Because pretty soon, like in 5 or 6 minutes, it's probably going to end.
Yeah.
But Peter's. You know, you can't help but thinking when Jesus, I think you just said that this was like the third time they've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first two times he came in the upper room, they were all there. And, you know, first time he comes in, says, peace be with you, shows him his wounds and, you know, says, you have anything to eat? And then he does this amazing Bible study and, we might add that those guys who were on the road to Emmaus were also there by this point because they had run back to Jerusalem. But he does this awesome Bible study and it says, starting with Moses, he goes through Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, showing them everything that applied to him, everything that was about him. So he does this awesome Bible study for the second time that day after doing it with the guys on the road to Emmaus. Yeah. And they see him eat some fish and along with the peace be with you, the Bible study, and do you have anything to eat? He never takes Peter aside and says, you know, we need to talk because, you know, early Friday morning, you really screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are Sunday night, but, you know, 2 days ago, you really screwed up and come here. We need to talk about this. Doesn't say that. Then the next week, he's there again to show Thomas who he is. Are we supposed to call him Thomas or Didymus when we go to heaven? I can't remember. I don't know.
We'll ask.
It's always said he's called Didymus. I don't know if we should call him Didymus or Thomas.
Dynamite.
I don't think we should call him Tom.
Hey, Mr. Dynamite.
That's a little too familiar.
Yep, that's me.
But then that second appearance in the upper room, he's showing Thomas his wounds and saying, well, you believe because you saw.
Yeah.
And here we are. You know, none of us saw Jesus on the cross, and none of us saw him physically removed from the cross and put in the tomb, and none of us saw him standing on the shore with his risen, glorified body, but we believe.
Right.
So Jesus says, blessed are the people that don't see anything, but they believe. So at that appearance, he doesn't take Peter aside and say, well, last week when I was here, I was going to say something, but I thought I better wait. So let me tell you something. You really screwed up a week ago and doesn't say that.
No.
So now this is, you know, maybe a few days or a week. We don't know exactly when this is. And so I can't help but wondering if Peter's thinking, okay, when's he going to say something about that?
Yeah.
I really screwed up big time.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in the next show. So, you know, he's denied him three times. So Peter's probably worried about where he stands in all this.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a natural human reaction. It's a natural human thought. Like, okay, I denied this man who I said I would never deny. That I said I would die before he died.
Yes.
I would, they can take me. I'll go in your place.
Yeah. You can't count on these guys, but I'll go with you.
Yeah. Those guys, you know, I don't put your stock in them, but me, hey.
That's right.
But it's an example of really, it's a great example for every person, who believes in that Jesus Christ is Lord and those who are still coming to faith.
Yeah.
That we all deny Christ at certain times because we all want to do things our own way.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to have control over our lives. And we exercise our free will, the gift that God's given us, sometimes to our own detriment.
Yeah, that's and, for sure.
Yeah. But yet, you know, when Jesus does have this conversation with Peter, it displays the tender mercy of God and really that there is always an opportunity for reconciliation with the Lord.
Exactly.
Not just forgiveness.
Yeah.
But for mercy.
Yes. Because he talks to them so nicely, calls them children. It's very tender. Yeah. It's very nice. It's not a, what we would call a judgmental disciplining. Or, I mean, could have done that. They all ran away except John.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that. And he talks to them like friends. And when you think about it, Peter had shown repentance at the time because he knew what he did.
Yeah.
It says, you know, he cried inconsolably.
Yeah.
After he heard the rooster crow.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the Passion of the Christ, their eyes met and Peter went, ugh, he just told me I was going to do this.
Yeah.
But he had been forgiven. And at this point, Jesus doesn't even mention the offense.
Right.
And next week we'll do the powerful conversation they had while they were there, because Jesus takes them aside and they have a very powerful conversation. Jesus never mentions, well, you denied me three times. How am I supposed to trust you? Mm. You know, what's going to happen when there's persecution? You'll run away. Yeah. I can't count on you.
Yeah. The whole trust thing is another part of it that as a human being, we have a lot of issues with that, because how do you reestablish trust with somebody once it's broken?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough, you know, even Paul talks about that in, you know, the book of Acts, because he says, you know, Mark abandoned me when we were somewhere or other.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking him anymore.
Right.
I'm not taking him anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to like have coffee with him. Like he abandoned me when I needed him.
Yeah.
And Barnabas saw, come on. He's okay. Well, then you take him. So Barnabas took him.
Yeah.
And even though they reconciled later,
right.
It's like, why am I going to take a guy on a mission trip? We get in some kind of danger. He's going to leave me again.
Yeah. He doesn't have my back.
Yeah. But Jesus never implies that to Peter during any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. You see the frailty and the frailty of humanity and the divinity of God's love.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Which is a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus could have said, you know, I made fish for you guys, but, you know, John stayed with me. So
he gets an extra portion.
He gets to eat. The rest of you guys, you know, I shouldn't even give you this, but here you go. And it always, we always talk about that verse, that in Romans 5 verses, while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still his enemies. Yeah. He died for us.
Yeah.
He didn't say, go clean yourself up and you better be good about this and then I'll consider accepting you.
Yeah. No, he died for us while we were still sinning against him and still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this whole account is a great example of that kind of love and provision.
Mm-hmm.
The music's already here.
It is.
Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would, in your own prayer time, come to that place where you can receive the mercy and love of God and know that you are forgiven through the blood of Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and that you are an adopted son and daughter of the Most High God. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.